This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Yesterday, the government of Liberia and two rebel factions signed a ceasefire agreement, but the ink was barely dry before one of the groups accused the government of violations. The agreement is the latest effort to find a solution to a civil war that's devastated this West African country for the past 15 years. One of the provisions in the agreement calls for the deployment of an international stabilization force. We'll be hearing from a United Nations official about that a bit later. Another more contentious provision calls for the formation of a transitional government which, quote, will not include the current president. That president is former warlord Charles Taylor. When or if Charles Taylor will really step down is unclear. Last month, the Liberian president was indicted for war crimes allegedly committed in the neighboring country of Sierra Leone. In Liberia, the three-sided war has taken the lives of at least 200,000 people in the past 3 years. The fighting has displaced as many as a million people in the capital, Monrovia, who now struggle to survive in primitive conditions with little food, water, or sanitation. This hour, the latest developments in Liberia. As you may know, it is a country with long and deep ties to the United States. If you have questions about the situation in Liberia or about the role of the United Nations and the United States, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now from Monrovia is Alfonso Towe, a correspondent for the Reuters News Service, and good of you to be with us.
Hello,
Alfonso. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello.
Good.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can you tell us what it's been like today in Monrovia, where you are?
Yeah, today in Liberia, especially in Monrovia, the city has been very quiet, calm, following the news of the signing of the ceasefire yesterday in Ghana, Accra specifically. When many people heard the news, there was jubilation all on the street of Monrovia, everywhere in every corner, because this is the news that people have been waiting to hear. And today, shops, stores, other areas have been open, banks have been opened, as I speak to you. So activities in Monrovia really have been going on quite well today upon hearing the news about the signing of the ceasefire.
Have you heard or seen any fighting in the area?
Well, this morning I spoke to some defense officials, some military sources, and they did tell me that that there was attack on their position in Bomin, which is the western part of the country, going towards the border with Sierra Leone. And also in Nimba, to be specific, in Ganta, which is the borderline between Liberia and Guinea. So indeed, we've heard of skirmishes, but this has not been independently confirmed, because sources I spoke to told me that Laird attacked their positions in those two places. Apparently, they haven't heard of the ceasefire yet. Well, that's what I can tell you as of now.
LIRD is one of the rebel groups, along with MODEL is the other one, and of course the third faction is the government of Liberia. Has the president of Liberia, Mr. Taylor, has he made any statements since the agreement was signed?
No, President Taylor has not made any statements. He has not commented on this ceasefire, but speaking through his press secretary, Vanni Passaway, an hour ago, I was with him, and he did say that the president will abide by the ceasefire, is prepared for peace, and the president will do everything in the interest of peace in this country so that the Liberian people, as he put it, will have a durable peace. But notwithstanding, he did say that they will defend their position aggressively if attacked, but they do not want to be the first to be admitted to carry on any attack. But they, according to him, will live by the agreement to the latter. That's what the press secretary told me a while ago.
As you know, the agreement calls for President Taylor to step down, a transitional government without Charles Taylor. Are there any announcements of plans of when, or do people really believe that he's going to do that?
This indeed is a sticky point of the agreement. The agreement did say that within 30 days, negotiations would be made, and then after that, the transitional government will be set into place. But again, what many people are telling me here is that President Taylor has said that he will relinquish power, but that also we remember that the war coup in Sierra Leone has indicted him, okay, and they are calling for him to be arrested and be turned over to the court. So President Taylor told a news conference last week that this whole peace process in Liberia will depend on the current issue that is taking place in Sierra Leone about the indictment. So in a nutshell, I think he's looking at a way out so that this issue on the crime that have been brought against him will be dropped completely. That is a sticky thing. And when I spoke to Vani, he did say, well, that is the most important thing. You cannot have charges on this man who has offered to resign, and then when he resigns, then they arrest him to take him to court. So there needs to be some level of discussion in that place.
So it sounds like what they're trying to broker is some sort of quid pro quo, that Mr. Taylor would step down, but only after these war crimes allegations, and they're horrific allegations, after these allegations against him are dropped.
Indeed, that seems to be what it is like now. But the president did say that he will resign, that he's, in his own words, if I am considered to be the problem, then I will step aside of this whole matter. But again, he did say, well, if they want a durable peace in Liberia, this whole thing about the charges should be considered. And in his own words, how that will be done is left with the court or whatever it is, but they have to do something about that. So in a nutshell, this peace process really will really take hold if something is done about this crime, this indictment issue.
Now, the other situation that demands immediate attention is, of course, the humanitarian crisis. If there are a million people displaced in Liberia, that's a third of the population, roughly, and there are reports of 30,000 people taking refuge inside of a stadium. What's going on with that?
Yes, indeed, that's true. That's the largest football stadium here, the Samuel Kayode Sports Complex here. Over 30,000 people in the are in that area. The humanitarian crisis in the capital now is desperate. People are dying every day, every hour. People are suffering actually complete starvation. And many of the international NGOs really have not really come in to carry on some sort of help, to lend some sort of helping hand. Just a few of them, like the International Rescue Committee, the ICRC, started distribution today. Other groups like Merlin, Action Aid, and other international groups are trying to see what they can do. And just to let you know that the European Union, EU, started with the pumping of water in some areas today. That is it. But the situation, humanitarian situation in the country is desperate. And everyone really here is looking out for anything that can drop from the sky to them so that that alone can be able to satisfy or to help save a soul.
Well, Alfonso Towe, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Alfonso Towe is the Reuters correspondent in Liberia, and he was with us on the phone from the capital, Monrovia. And joining us now from neighboring Sierra Leone is Comfort Arrow. She's project director for the West Africa Office of the International Crisis Group, and good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about these rebel groups. Who are they? What are they fighting for?
We have two different rebel groups. One is called the Liberians United for Reconciliation and Democracy, who was first formed back in April 2000. The other group that is newly created, and you can consider them as a kind of loose split from the LURD group, is calls itself Model, Movement for Democracy in Liberia. Now, both of them are clear on what their objectives are, which is to remove President Taylor. But after that, there are differences between both groups. There's been an internal fighting within the LURD, which in itself gave new birth to this new group model, which has come from Ivory Coast. They were created formally in March of this year, launched various attacks in the southeast of Liberia from Ivory Coast, Grand Jeddah County, Sino County, and Maryland. And the LURD have launched their offensive, namely from Guinea, where they've been based for some time. And they're based also in Lofa County, Grand Cape Mount, which is on the north and northeastern side and northwestern side of Liberia. But they both share one fundamental point, which is the removal of Charles Taylor from power.
Now, no overview of the last 25 years or so of Liberian politics can be quick. But basically, the one-party rule in that country was overthrown back in 1980. There was a decade of military rule, and then civil war broke out in December of 1989. Among the leaders of the warring factions in that organization was indeed Mr. Taylor. Is that correct?
That's right. Mr. Taylor was the leader of the National Patriotic Front of Liberia. A number of those fighters that now make up the LURD and make up the model are also part of the warring factions that fought against Charles Taylor in Liberia's first civil war from 1989 to 1996. And a lot of them are still fighting on the basis that they never, they felt that President Taylor stole victory from them. They also felt betrayed by President Taylor, and a number of them also feel that he didn't fulfill the 1996 peace agreement, the Abuja peace agreement, and a number of them are fighting on the basis of that failed peace agreement.
Tell us a little bit about Charles Taylor. I know you've had the chance to meet him. I think you did an interview with him.
Yeah, we had the chance to meet President Taylor last July. What you can say, he appears or comes across as very charismatic. He's a shrewd manipulator. He's very Machiavellian. It's better to be feared than to be loved. He's very good at winning people over. He's very good at breaking the house and gaining from a divided house. So if he sees or smells or senses divisions among international actors, among his West African neighbors, then he's very good at playing at those divisions. So he's a very smart diplomat as well. He understands the diplomatic game, and he knows that a number of people would have been unpleased with the announcement of the indictment 2 weeks ago. And so he's playing a very shrewd game now of trying to force the hand of a number of people who don't want to acknowledge, who do not want to acknowledge that the indictment has been imposed.
Now, this indictment, and again, this is for war crimes allegedly committed in the neighboring country of Sierra Leone, include murder, rape, sexual slavery, recruitment of child soldiers, mutilation, torture, looting and burning, and attacks on United Nations personnel. Indeed, this whole situation in Liberia, it's probably hard to understand it without taking it in the larger context of what's going on in this group of countries.
That's right. I mean, Charles Taylor's indictment is clearly linked to his involvement in fueling, sustaining, and some would say being the heart of the RUF, the Revolutionary United Front rebel movement in Sierra Leone. He's been accused of aiding the rebellion in Sierra Leone by providing arms, ammunition, by providing financial assistance, by training rebel groups from Sierra Leone in Liberia, and by also trying to take opportunity or advantage of the diamonds in Sierra Leone. He's also accused of the abduction of the hostage crisis in Sierra Leone. There is a large regional dimension to Charles Taylor. Okay. And a number of people would say that the most important starting point in terms of dealing with wider regional crisis in West Africa is by dealing with Charles Taylor first.
We're talking about Liberia and its newly ceasefire agreement. We'll come back after a short break and take some of your calls. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the prospects for peace in the war-torn country of Liberia. A ceasefire agreement was signed yesterday. If you visited Liberia, if you're from there and living now in the States, Call and tell us about your experiences. The number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Right now we're speaking with Comfort Arrow, Project Director for West Africa Office of the International Crisis Group. And let's go to the phones. Our first caller is George, who's with us from Willingboro, New Jersey.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, George. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a Liberian from Monrovia, Liberia.
Yes.
And first of all, I would like to commend the international community for such a tremendous job. I think it was long overdue, and I hope and pray that this ceasefire can hold.
Well, Comfort Arrow is, at this moment, there is this ceasefire agreement. Again, allegations of violations of it today, but this is certainly the best news in quite some time.
Well, that's true. Certainly, that's true. But
excuse me, George. I put that question to Comfort Arrow. Excuse me. Go ahead, Comfort.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I mean a lot of Liberians, a lot of people in Monrovia got on the streets yesterday, and they're rejoicing because it's the best news that they'd heard in 5 years since President Taylor came to power. But we should still be cautious about the ceasefire. What the ceasefire is calling for is a halt, is a end to the gunfighting. But we still have the period of the 30 days leading to the interim administration. We still have to deal with the crucial political question of President Taylor saying that the indictment has to be lifted before peace can endure. And that is still a big issue on the table that the region, the West African leaders need to deal with the Security Council and the International Contact Group for Liberia.
George, are you in touch with your family still in Liberia?
Yes, I am.
And how are they doing?
Well, quite frankly, my sisters are very terrified. My father is of age, and it's ridiculous because there are so many uncertainties on who's coming and what's going to be happening. And most Liberians have been very quiet because of what's going to happen, just in case we see someone outside Liberia concerning our families. But we are all looking out to see whether Mr. Taylor is going to step down. But if he does, we don't know who's coming in, because from where we come from, I learned that everything is burnt. And for people who are 70, 80 years old, who are innocent and never participated in any government whatsoever, to be going through such a complete disaster, an abuse of human dignity by all of them, the so-called, it's not just Charles Taylor, it's not just Charles Taylor. I could go on and name people,
mm-hmm.
but I hope that a special court in Sierra Leone will be able to rearrest some of those who have caused this hassle over the past 10 years. Our people have been brutalized and treated like cannibals.
George, thank you very much for the call, and we hope your sisters and your father get through it.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Let's go now to speak with Delphine, who joins us on the line from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Good afternoon.
Thanks very much for having me on the program today. I am Delphine Willis from Minnesota, Brooklyn Park, and I was in the war for the past 4 years, from 1990 to 1994, until I came to the States. My is not really a question, it's an appeal. I want to publicly today, openly appeal to President George Bush, Kofi Annan of the United Nations, and all those that are clothed with the authority to send forces into Liberia to help the Liberian people today, to please do so. The Liberians are a very grateful people. Right now, we are in control of nothing. We are just living by the mercy of God. I was able to talk to my sister, Bartu, that fled the country. She is now in the Ivory Coast. She went to the Ivory Coast and slept at the airport for 2 nights, and a friend took her in. My brother, Gabriel Porter, I have been unable to speak to any of my relatives. I don't know whether they are alive or they are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm just living by the grace of God. I'm really tormented. I'm at work right now, currently calling from work, but I'm just devastated. I don't know what to do because I had not heard from my people.
Are you planning Are you planning to go back?
Yes, sir. If things calm down, I would love to go back home. I cannot retire in America. So I'm openly appealing to President George Bush today. I know they can do it for us. If they want to help Liberia, they have the manpower to do it for us.
Well, Delphine, okay. I'm not sure we're going to be able to relay your appeal directly to the president, but we have a representative of Mr. Annan in just a moment, so we'll put your point to him.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Neil, and have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And Comfort Arrow, I wanted to thank you very much for speaking with us today. Comfort Arrow is project director for the West Africa Office of the International Crisis Group, and she was on the line with us from Sierra Leone. Well, as I mentioned, joining us now from his office in New York is Youssef Mahmoud. He is director of the Africa Division in the Department of Political Affairs at the United Nations, and thanks very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
The United Nations was among the signatories to yesterday's agreement on Liberia. What role will the UN have now?
Well, the UN so far has played a supportive role to ECOWAS, just like other international partners have been.
And ECOWAS is a regional grouping of West African nations.
That's the regional grouping of West African states. That's correct. And we intend to maintain that role unless the Security Council decides otherwise.
Now, only two UN monitors will be assigned to Liberia, as I understand it. Why so small a delegation?
That's that's what the ECOWAS has requested, because there will be other representatives. And the majority of those who will implement the initial phase of the ceasefires come from the ECOWAS member states.
And if there are going to be stabilization forces involved, as there are called for in the agreement that is signed yesterday, would those come from the UN or would those be provided by ECOWAS?
Actually, as we speak, intense discussions are taking place here in New York, in Accra, and in other capitals as to the nature, the mandate, and the troop contributing countries to that particular force. The jury is out. There is pressing need to constitute that force as soon as possible, whether it will be a multinational force led by a lead nation, like, for example, France is doing in Côte d'Ivoire, or France is doing in Bunia in the East Congo, whether it will be a presence like the UK has been providing to Sierra Leone. We don't know yet, but the discussions are ongoing and are intensified.
Well, as you know, Liberia was the republic there was established by former slaves who left the United States and erected the government there. What role would the UN like to see the United States take in this?
Well, I think it's up for the United States to decide, frankly. But I know many people, both inside and outside the United Nations, are looking up towards the United States for certain kind of leadership. And the United States, I must say, has been actively involved at the talks, both in Akosombo, near Accra and Accra. And they continue to exercise that leadership role, which we welcome very much.
If you could stay with us for a moment, Mr. Mahmoud, we'd like to bring in another guest right now.
Certainly.
Samuel Kofi Woods is a Liberian human rights lawyer and an activist now living in exile in Minnesota. He was director of the Justice and Peace Commission in Liberia before leaving that country in 1998. He joins us here in Studio 3A, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much.
Talking again about the international role, could you discuss what role you think the United Nations should play right now?
I think any intervention in Liberia, militarily or in terms of peacekeeping, must be led and sanctioned by the Security Council under Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter by the United Nations.
Chapter 7 authorizes the use of force.
The use of force when necessary. We are dealing with a very desperate situation. We're dealing with people who have taken up force of arms and used force to obtain power. And we want to be very careful based on the experiences of the past in Liberia, where we had a regional peacekeeping force, where there were attempts to reward crime by creating an interim government based on factional division. We want to learn from that experience. And we need a force that is capable of restraining the excesses of factions in that country. This is what we need. But we need, more importantly, a leadership role by the United States government.
Well, those two things are probably tied together. There's not going to be approval in the Security Council unless the United States is pushing for it.
But we're talking about direct involvement. We're talking about leadership, military leadership, financial leadership, economic, to sustain the development of Liberia in the long term. And we need that. There are historical reasons for this. Why historical reason? Liberia was founded by free slaves from America. Our model of government was tailored after that of the United States. Our capital city is named after James Monroe, one of your presidents. We've been able to model our laws after the United States government. We've been a Cold War ally of the United States over years. Liberia tendered in a major vote along with the United States to recognize the State of Israel. The airport in Liberia, as well as the seaport, was built during World War II. One of our languages, the Vaal language, was used as a coded message for the Allied forces. We've been engaged with America. One of the major CIA posts in sub-Saharan Africa for years was in Liberia. The VOA terminal for the Voice of America was based in Liberia.
Well, beyond that appeal for all of these American ties, and they are long and deep, everybody knows that, why is ECOWAS, the regional grouping, why is that insufficient? Why do you need the Security Council? And I think you're asking for American forces here, aren't you?
Personally, I am not only looking for single American forces. I'm looking for a multilateral, multinational force under the aegis of the United Nations, but with the leadership and involvement of America. Now, ECOWAS, why not ECOWAS? What has been the recent experience and evidence with Liberia? There have been a virulent clash of interests within the region. At the political level, there have been various political alliances and interests. At the economic level, and even at the level of different ethnic and tribal affinity across borders, there are various kinds of interests. ECOWAS as an institution has its limitations structurally. It lacks the structural and institutional framework to sustain any serious peacekeeping operation in that country. And I think even with the lack of funding and other things, these are issues that undermine any serious regional engagement of the peacekeeping force ECOWAS.
Well, let's get a quick response from that from Youssef Mahmoud.
I subscribe to the assessment of the last guest on the relative strength of ECOWAS. ECOWAS has shown a lot of leadership, I must confess, over the past few years, particularly political leadership, particularly in the peacemaking area. When it comes to peacekeeping, despite the political will and the to put forces on the ground, they really do not have the capacity, particularly the logistic and financial capacity, to deploy in a timely manner a credible force. And that's why they are looking for partnership and leadership of other nations. They have not given up that peacekeeping role, but they recognize that not only are they overstretched, but also they do not have the means. And I think this is what they are looking forward to. And just the experience in Cote d'Ivoire proves it. Even though they were ready and willing to provide troops, they did not have the means to deploy them. And it took a lot of fund mobilization efforts to finally deploy some of them. In the meantime, the situation almost got out of hand. And for a ceasefire implementation, you need time is of the essence. You need rapid deployment.
We're speaking about the crisis in Liberia. A ceasefire agreement was signed there yesterday. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another listener involved. Gabriel joins us on the line from Sacramento. Hello, Gabriel. Gabriel, are you there? I guess Gabriel has left us. Let's try to go to Joe, who's with us from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I'd first like to extend my heartfelt appreciation for you airing this piece on Liberia. I am from Liberia, and I reside in Baltimore. And if I'm a little nervous, I mean, bear with me. I'm a first-time caller. But the situation at hand at the present conference that is being held in Ghana, I think, in which they are trying to broker a deal, some recent peace agreement. there was a ceasefire that was signed yesterday, which you had indicated. But I believe for us to have sustained and long peace, and use this opportunity that at hand, I think there has to be a quid pro quo, and that is striking a deal with Mr. Taylor, who had said that at the end of his term, he will not seek re-election, or better yet, that he is he's agreed to step down. I think in the interest of peace and a sustained peace for Liberia, I think it will be in the interest of Liberians and all those who are trying to broker a deed to drop the charges against Mr. Taylor,
in Sierra Leone.
Yes, in Sierra Leone.
Well, let's get a response let's ask Samuel Kofi Woods if this is a quick...
Well, could I just add what I was about to say, because I think we lost a great opportunity when the courts in Sierra Leone, and I will say this, I mean, it was almost like sabotaging the peace process that we've always been looking for by announcing an indictment and the arrest of Mr. Taylor in Ghana. I think that kind of sabotage, an attempt to sabotage an opportunity that... was at hand. Hopefully, it hasn't all been lost.
Well, we'll see. And certainly, if the allegations are correct, Samuel Kofi Woods, President Taylor has an awful lot of blood on his hands.
Obviously, not only in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, in Cote d'Ivoire, and many other places, Taylor had been an active player at the nerve of the destabilization of the region. And I think that the two issues here are distinct. The crimes against the people of Sierra Leone and the role of the special court is quite distinct from Taylor's roles in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, what are the evidence before us? During the negotiations for peace in Liberia, we said that peace must come before justice. We surrender everything to the various factions to form a government. Mr. Taylor came to power on the basis of that. Liberia did not establish a war crimes tribunal, neither did it establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, in spite of the fact that more than 150,000 people were killed. This was portion of the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
There is no fate, there is no guarantee that we must now begin to negotiate justice on the platter of peace. Taylor has been indicted. He must have an opportunity for due process of law. He must have an opportunity to appear and prove himself otherwise.
Well, thank you both very much. We're going to continue following this story on NPR News, but we appreciate both of you being with us today. You just heard from Samuel Kofi Woods, a human rights lawyer and an activist living in exile here in the U.S. You joined us here in Studio 3A. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And Youssef Mahmoud, thank you for speaking with us today.
Pleasure.
Youssef Mahmoud is director of the Africa Division in the Department of Political Affairs at the United Nations, and he was on the line with us from his office in New York. When we come back from a short break, a look at what's going on in Benton Harbor, Michigan. This city on Lake Michigan erupted into riots over the past couple of nights. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.